Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You may be seated. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Psalms 119 verse 130 says, the entrance of your word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Hallelujah. It gives understanding to the simple. Now, you know, there are people who are simple. That is lack of understanding. They are simple. But they think they know. They think they are very intelligent. They think in their mind they are so wise. I remember so many years ago, you know, simple people there's a way people who are simple can think they know a lot. And I remember quite a number of years ago, mobile phones had just come, and you know they were, you know, those old Nokias, and you know, very prestigious. And now one day I was in a taxi, and there was a lady on a mobile phone in a very sleek BMW, and she had the windows up, and obviously I was enjoying the winter. Now the trouble is, the people who were in the taxi with me did not know air conditioning. So the conversation started in the what? In the car. Now look at her. Isn't she feeling hot? Now he said, I don't know what's wrong with these rich people. You have a car, you put the windows up, and it's very hot. She must be feeling very hot, but she's fearing people to steal her phone. So now how do you tell the people there about air conditioning? In their mind, they are very wise. They are wiser than this person who is in a sleek BMW with a mobile phone. Now, I want you to understand that having a mobile phone in itself was all that. You understand? This is the 90s. So just having a phone in itself, can you imagine talking without any wire? It was a marvel. Now she's in a sleek BMW, but now the people who are this side think they have one thing on her. We have something on her. She doesn't have the wisdom to pull down the what? The windows. So I look at them. Of course, I knew air conditioning. But now, how do you join such a conversation? So I just stood back and listened to them. And they talked about her throughout the journey until we reached Kamocha. And then she branched off somewhere. And they were saying, now look at her. She must even be sweating. Now what? And now when I looked in the car, I saw somebody who was so relaxed, talking on the phone and driving. Very smart. You could even see from, you know, and in her own world. But these people were simple, but in their eyes they were what? Very wise. Praise the Lord. Now, there are so many such people whom I know, or even let's talk about myself. A time when you think you know certain things, but in reality you're simple. You're simple, you don't know nothing. So you wake up in the day, you don't know how the day is going to go, you don't know anything about what's going to happen, you have no control over anything that happens to you, you still live in the realm of luck, something may or may not happen. If somebody wants it to happen, it will happen. If somebody wakes up against it, it will not happen. And you still live in that realm. But actually, in your mind, you know a lot. And now that's where the danger comes. Because you come to a point where the things which enlighten other people, you know them very well, but you don't know them. Amen? And now the more you are exposed to light and you do not receive it and make it change your way of thinking, the darker your heart becomes and it becomes more complicated for you to receive that same revelation. Now somebody will come from outside who doesn't know anything about it, hear it the first time, add just their life to it, and they will overtake you. See you. And for you, all you know is actually you know. And of course, we lived all our times through these things where you know the word of God, but there is no entrance. It does not say the knowledge or the reading of the word of God brings light. It means, it says the entrance of your word gives light. It has to enter. Now, of course, when you move around and you see, there are so many people. Let me tell you, it's by the grace of God that you actually become humble enough to appreciate that you don't know anything. Okay? For the word of God to give you light, you have to first accept that you're simple. Because it gives understanding to the what? Not to the wise. Now the wise people in those in that taxi did not have the understanding. Needed understanding. Okay? So you see, it gives light to the simple. So you have to first understand that you're simple. That's the starting place. Now, that's where so many people fall apart. And by the way, and this is especially true for ministers of God. Man, they can know so much without knowing anything. And in their mind, they are so wise, yet they are very simple. Simple. And you try to tell them anything, they will not receive anything from you because there is nothing you're going to tell them that they don't know. And now because they have been exposed to it, their heart has been hardened. And every time, just know this, every time you're exposed to a certain truth and you do not let it enter you, you keep it around you, the next time that truth comes, it will find a hard nut to crack. Now by the time you've been exposed to it 5 or 6 or 7 times, now you are not, most probably, never going to receive it because you rejected it. You understand? Now, I'll tell you a story which I've told you here before of a certain lady, because she's a marvel as far as I'm concerned. Now, so one day she comes to me, the usual things, she's a minister of God. So she comes to me and she's saying she wants me to give her some money, and she's fallen behind her rent and the landlord is coming, you know, that very night. No, it wasn't that night. She said, I think it was a Friday. She said, on Monday night, the guy said he's coming by 7. If you don't have my money, I'm throwing your things out. You know that drill. So a part of me wanted to give her the money because it wasn't even much. But then the Lord impressed on me, don't give it to her. Because now you're just going to harden her heart more. So I told her. Now, she should be in position to listen. So I told her, can you trust God for your rent? Can you? Can you trust God to pay your rent? So sometimes I labor, even tell people stories, tell them what, you know, tell them this and that, just to get them to a point where, okay, can you trust? So we went, moved round and about. So she got to a point where she said, you know what? Let me trust God for my rent. Now, I'm not going to do it. I said, if you trust him, don't call anybody. Don't do anything. You just go and trust him. So she said, let me go and trust him. So she went and trusted him. Now, I think sometimes God helps you by the grace and even removes the memory that at 7 they are coming for you. You can enjoy the day and you forget at 7 they are coming for you. Because he's trying to. Because if you remember it, you will not trust. So he's just trying to be kind to you. So he makes you forget. Then you get distracted by so many other things. Anyway, so at around dusk, 6:30, somebody calls her. Now, she told me this herself. She came back to tell me. Many people don't come to tell you. And by that's a wicked thing. It's not a good thing. I remember way back when I was still in Rwenzori Towers, somebody comes to me. I've not forgotten this story. I'm going to finish it. You know I'm capable of forgetting and just going on. So somebody comes to me and tells me she was in real distress. A guy. Nothing is working out. I had a job. I lost it. Everything seems to be pointing south and so on. And in a lot of distress. So I start praying for the person. Then I give them a word, a prophetic word. I say, now, here is how God is showing that he's reversing your situation. As soon as you leave this place, you are going to get a call from somebody who promised, who rejected you earlier, where you went to apply and they rejected you. You are going to get a call from them, and now that will be the sign to you that now everything has turned around. So he said, okay. So then he left. He came back after like about 8 months. And now things were bad. So he said, man, you know the other time I came here, you prayed for me and what? So I said, what happened? He said, you prayed for me. You told me somebody was going to call me as soon as I leave here. I said, what happened? The guy told me that I was still in the lift. And they called me from a place where they had rejected me. And they gave me a contract. And in all this time, things have been okay. But I did need you as long as things were what? And the only thing I need is for you to give me a testimony so that I know that God used me to do something. You understand? Now you don't have to give me. I know God uses. But now that time, I was still trying to build my thing. You understand? I don't need anything. Just come and tell me you gave me this word and it came to pass. That will bless me. But you mean you come back after now the thing has gone. Now, even if I pray for you, I will not pray for you with the same vigor. Because I've seen you a mean person. You understand? What does it cost you to come and say, man, everything you told me came to pass? Because it did. But then they will come back later. Actually, it reminds me of one day we had good African coffee here with what? Those days. With Prophet. Then the lady comes. And you know those people, like, meet somebody with somebody. Come, I want to talk to you, man. Drugs him, what? So he goes, pray for me. My son is, you know what? I said, hey, you have a son? I said, yes. Now, the last time he had seen her, some years back, she was barren. She could not give birth. Husband was threatened to leave her because of no children. Then he prayed for her. Then now, he said, so you got a son? He said, no, this is the third. The third child. You know there are people who are like that. Eh? They are you like as if you're a doctor. They only go there when you're what? Eh. It's a good thing to testify, you people. Eh? It's a good thing to testify because it even builds other people's faith. You understand? Now imagine you gave birth to a first child. Before you came, you were in distress. What? Help me. What? Then he released you. Released your womb. Bam! One child. Pull the second child. Pull the third child. Now the third child is sick. You is there taking his coffee. You just come and pull him. Zew! Come. Anyway, praise the Lord. Back to the other story. Now, as I promised. Anyway, now, this lady, somebody brought for her some time ago. I've told you this story. I'm saying it again just for purposes of what. Somebody earlier had sent her padlocks, apparently, which are very tight. Thieves cannot, you know, find it difficult to break through them and what. So she went trying to sell padlocks, and nobody was interested in the padlocks. Now, it turns out one day that some lady got robbed the previous night. So she called her at 7 when the landlord was supposed to come at 7. Called her at 6:30 when the landlord was supposed to come at 7:30. I said, do you still have those padlocks? She had discarded them in her house because she had failed to sell them. She said, yeah, I have the padlocks. I'm coming for them right now. I need them. She said, but it's late. She said, no, I'm coming now. I need them. Last night, somebody broke into my house. Now I cannot be safe until I buy. So to cut a long story short, she came and bought those padlocks. There were a number of them. She bought more than one. She must have really been traumatized. And I think she put a padlock on every room, eh? Even the bathrooms. Anyhow, so she bought a number of padlocks, and now it turns out it was exactly the amount of money this lady needed to pay her rent. Now, as soon as the other lady went with the padlocks, guess who shows up? The landlord. And you know, money can change people. The guy comes very angry until he sees you with money. Have you ever seen those things? Eh? People can talk. Here's the money. Okay. Thank you very much. I knew you'd pay. But money can change people. Anyway, so when she came and told me that testimony, thank God she wasn't like the rest, I told her, so now that you've believed God and he has done something so spectacular that clearly it was God, could it have been anybody else? That no, it was God. So now don't ever come back to me crying about rent. That is the method. That is the way forward. The next thing, she went back the other side to what? To now calling people. Man, rent has come. Get me what? Now, somebody like that, she has been exposed to the revelation. And she has kind of put it aside. Now, the next time, it was so easy for me to get through to her because maybe nobody had told her that before. But now if you go and tell it to her again, now her skin has been hardened. Her heart has been hardened. It becomes more difficult for her to receive it because she was exposed to it and she turned it down. She, you know that thing which says they turned the blood, you know, into a common thing, eh? Where something is powerful, but you turn it into a common thing. And now God knows that your heart has been hardened. And you become like the children of Israel. Now that means that you'll die in the desert. In that area, you will never see the hand of God unless, you know, of course, never is not the right word. But it becomes more and more difficult for you to see the hand of God because you saw it and you could have received it and you could have made that your life, but you refused, you went back to. And now it becomes harder. So the word of God did not really enter to give you light. And now usually those people are people who have either been in church for very long. That's a big problem. By the way, thank God it was by the grace of God that having been in church very long and had so many messages, I got to a place where I had to understand that I'm simple. First, accept I'm simple. Because all the things I knew did not help me. Now I want something which is going to help me. First, understand that I'm simple. Then now you start the entrance of your word gives light. Now light is what shows you, you know, makes your path clear. And then gives understanding to the what? To the simple. And I'll go to, in somewhere in Matthew, I think chapter 6. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, you think about this. The light that is you is inside you is darkness. How can darkness become light? Or light become darkness? You see now, you can be having light, but the light you have is what? Darkness. And then it says, now, if the light you have is darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, you are worse than somebody who has darkness. Okay? Now, somebody who just has darkness has not been exposed to the light. Now, somebody who has seen light and has been exposed to it and either has rejected it or has taken it as a very simple thing or something like that, they eventually think they know. They know something. And they are very confident that they know. But what they know is fake. So their light is darkness. Now, that is better than somebody who doesn't know. Because somebody who doesn't know is ready to learn. Now, somebody who knows, and yet he doesn't know, his light is darkness. You understand? Eh? Now, am I making sense? Now, you see somebody, and I meet so many such people, and they've been through a lot. There is nothing you can tell. They are good at arguing. Eh? There is nothing you can tell them. You dare discuss any revelation with them. And you see how they will turn it into a common thing. And there are very many. There is one, you know, there is something which used to bother me long ago. when he says that God knew you from your womb and so on and all that, then I say, God, but it seems like almost my path was predestined. So does that also mean that people who go to hell were predestined to go to hell? Where is the justice in that? So it used to kind of bother me. Eh? And you understand what I'm saying? Eh? So it would bother me. Then somewhere along the way, I got to know that what is predestined are not your decisions. What is predestined are the consequences of your decisions. You understand? Every time you reach a crossroads, it is determined what will happen if you go here and what will happen if you go where? There. But the going, which direction to go, is up to you. So God does not make that decision for you. But the consequences, good or bad, are what are predestined. So it is your decision. So I found that very enlightening. I said, hey, okay. So I have to make the decision, but then the consequences, what comes thereafter, is what is predestined. So that makes sense. Now, so I went and tried to discuss it with a certain pastor who is enlightened with darkness. You understand? Eh? That doesn't mean they are dark, they are not going to heaven or so on. Don't get me wrong. Eh? That just means that they stopped learning at a certain stage and they can't go beyond there. They cannot. If you try to talk to them, they will wear you out until you even doubt the things which you know. So, and they are very good, you know, at arguing, those people. Eh? Of course, arguing is a sign of carnality. One of the biggest signs of carnality. If you see people who are very good at arguing, you just, that's carnality defined. Carnality 311. People who know don't argue. They just look at you and keep quiet and move on. Now, when somebody starts arguing and what, you just do as carnality. Trying to convince, you know, you try. Then he tells you this and say, what about this? Then you never stop to wonder, is he ever going to change? He's enlightened with darkness. And so great is what? Is the darkness. So I went and started arguing with this person. With whom, by the way, because when you're still trying to pursue something, when you're in the process of pursuing something, you cannot stop having revelation. Okay? Because now I can't stop having revelation because I have not stopped here. I am on the way to somewhere. I'm in the process of getting somewhere. So my getting there requires that I have to update my information every what? Every now and again. Now, if I ever got to a place where I felt now perhaps I'm too comfortable, I don't need anything else, that's where the revelation would stop. And then I would also become an expert arguer and enlightened with darkness. Then somebody comes and brings new information, and because you think that God stopped when you stopped, so many years ago, you think you finished the syllabus of God. Have you ever met such people? Eh? Now, there is nothing they don't know. God, they finished the syllabus of God. Can you imagine, yet even in eternity, we'll still be learning about him when we are even next to him. Now, you find somebody who thinks they, you know, God, they finished. He knows everything. So when you tell him this, he says, but then there's this. Then what about then is this? Then eventually the new information you are apparently giving them is swallowed in into the old information they have because they knew everything. Then they end up saying, what new have you told me? And he has just let go something very powerful that could have transformed his life. But he's not interested because he has reached his peak. By the way, let me tell you, one of the biggest issues is surrounding, the biggest problems, enemies of progress, is surrounding yourself with people who are not involved in any pursuit. Amen? Anybody whom you see has arrived. He has reached somewhere. He thinks he has made it. You just run away from such a person because they are going to bring you down. They don't receive anything new. Because all this pursuit is what causes us to seek and seek, because every new level requires that you know more. Okay? About the God you serve, because you're going to a higher level and a higher level. Until you meet somebody who finished, like the old prophet. You know the story of the old prophet. Yeah, he's there. Also, as God used to talk through us, what happened? You've had those people, eh? And they make you look like You know, so as God used to talk through us, you know. Yeah. Hey, okay, it's nice. What did the Lord tell you? He told me this. And now the first mistake, by the way, of that young prophet is you don't tell people things. If somebody is finished, he's finished. You let him die. You know, there are certain things which are interesting. Like God calling Joshua and telling him, Moses, my servant, is dead. God, but we've been mourning him for 30 days. I know that. But he's telling you something. He's telling you close that chapter. There is somebody there whom you admired, who was a great servant, but now he's dead. Now start afresh. Because, I mean, that would be idle information. Imagine you've buried, okay, he didn't bury him, God is the one who buried him, but you've mourned him for 30 days. And then at the end of the mourning for Moses, then God comes and tells Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. But God, I knew that. No, you didn't. He's dead. Amen? Now, people who do not understand that things are dead, there are things which you are, and then he's saying, now get up, move on. Now that chapter is closed. The new chapter is you. Now this is the beginning of the new chapter. And now, move on. Forget about what happened in the past. It was great, it was wonderful, but now humanity is going on. And life has to go on. So now what is in the past is in the past. Until you meet somebody who is dead but alive. At least Moses was dead and what? Eh. But there's somebody who is dead but alive. He stopped pursuing. There is nothing else he has to pursue in life. His knowledge of God is stagnant. He's there. Now he has become an expert arguer. And now, those people. What it means that your light is darkness is that somebody believes 100% that he's in possession of the truth, yet actually it is darkness. So for him it is light, yet it is darkness. Now great is that darkness. Now when somebody is in darkness and he doesn't presume to not have light, he knows this is darkness. When the light shows up, you receive it. And now he'll be transformed. But now try telling somebody who is like that, whose great is his darkness. There is nothing they will receive, they will be there. And now the reason I'm saying this is because some of you also, I can see people who are very, very, very among you. Eh? You might think I'm just there preaching. Eh? I see people whom you be with somebody and you know this person is never going to receive the revelation of finance. Never. End of story. Never. And by the time I say never, because I'm a very, very patient person. Eh? But you look at somebody, you've tried everything. Everything, everything. He has seen you. He has seen you come from point A to point B. You have done what? But they refuse. And now when you try to tell them, you say, you know, there is this. I say, yes. Even me, the Lord was telling me that the other day. And he swallows up what you're saying. And he remains in darkness. Because his darkness is what? His light is darkness. You know what I'm saying? Eh? Now, he will listen. Now, that's a very dangerous place to be. Eh? Because you see, the more you're exposed to the principle of the higher, to whom much is given, much is required, is applicable here. The more you're exposed to it, the more God demands of you. You understand? Now, you see, Lucifer was right at the throne of God, and he despised that. So there cannot be any comeback. Because what we aspire to see, he already saw. But he despised it. You see, eh? Now that's why it's different for somebody who sins in the flesh. Because just the flesh, your level of exposure is too little. You're a baby. But then, you get to the level of Moses, where God says, I speak to him face to face. Now that's wonderful. Until he tells you face to face that go and speak to that rock. And then you go and hit the rock because you're angry. Then he says you are not going to go to the promised land. Then you say, God, but also that little, your Moses, your level, they are not, at your level, those are small mistakes are not, do you understand what I'm saying? Eh? Whereas Aaron made a golden calf and he entered, he did not, but he lived out his life. Now, for the higher you go, the more you know, the stricter the judgment. You have to know that, because you can't come and be exposed to certain things over and over and over and over again. I'll give you an example. Even people like myself here, I have had, haven't you had people who betray you? Eh? Haven't you had people who betray you? Hey, they betray you. They betray me. But they are not going to be judged like Judas. Because Jesus was God's best. So Judas is next to God's best and he despises it. He decides to buy a piece of land instead. Now there is no way back because God has shown you his best, but you despised it. But then if you betray me, that's different. You see, eh? Because I'm not Jesus. Okay, you might suffer some... But I'm not Jesus. You understand, eh? But also the higher the anointing, you also have to be careful. Because, you know, some people think that you can continue with a certain cavalier attitude when you're close to a high anointing. By the way, you can't. Because it will hurt you, it will sting you more than the other. I mean, think about it. Is Judas the only person who just pointed? Let me put it this way. Jesus was going to die, wasn't he? Judas just pointed those people where what? Where he was. And he got some dime. And he bought a piece of land. If those standards were to be put upon all of you, I don't know how many of you would what? But because you've not come close to Now, for him, it was different because he was there right next to God's best there. And then you just think a piece of land is better. Now, you see, like you've really taken it very lightly. Very, very lightly. You've that's why the scripture says that you've counted as worthless the blood that redeemed you. Praise the Lord. Now, people play with the power of decision. They play with the power of decision. They play with the power of decision. Let me tell you this story, which I read in a book by Kenneth E. Hagin. You know, so some of people are getting excited. You call him Huggins. There is no Huggins. He's Hagin. There is no S. Mugwira. You understand? Because you heard people talk about him, so you just go and put a name. At least go and Google. Anyway. Now he said that this gentleman, there's a pastor. He had a wife who was very beautiful and had a very good voice. She was really talented, a talented musician, beautiful. But she was a pastor of some Baptist church. A simple man. So, now this gentleman says, Kenneth Hagin says that the Lord showed him like a devil coming and like a small car imp. It would come, climb her shoulder, sit on the shoulder and start telling her that you're wasting your life here in church. You're too beautiful. In the world, you'd be a superstar. You'd be all this, but now look at you. You're wasted here in church and so on. And now she knew that that was the devil. So she would rebuke the devil in Jesus' name, and you would see the kashrimp jumping off and like if running, as very scared, and then it takes off. But then it comes back and says the same things. Then it comes back and says, and she would chase it. Then it comes back, says the same things. You're wasting your life here. But then after some time, she actually started receiving the words. Then he said that when she actually started considering those words, he saw that a black thing, like a very small dot, appear somewhere, like in her heart. A small thing like this, a black dot. Then it kept on coming, reinforcing. And she kept on now really believing the words, really thinking she's wasting her life. Now it became bigger and bigger in the vision. What was a small dot became bigger and bigger. Anyway, to cut a long story short, she left her husband, left the church, and went into the world. And now really started living a very a very worldly life. But she, the devil, is a liar. She don't even become a superstar. She just became some kind of harlot. Now, then he says, he's there praying. Now, here is the funny thing. He says he had gone to visit that pastor to preach at his church. That pastor was the ex-husband of that woman. And in the evening, after dinner, they knelt down to pray. And he said as soon as his knees touched the ground, he was carried away and he saw all this. Then he saw a minister from her denomination coming with a Bible. Somehow the minister knew where she was. She was in a hotel room somewhere with some man. So the man comes to the reception, I think asks for where she is. They tell him. Then the man, you know, goes up with his Bible. You know those guys, eh? With the Bible, going to preach to her the what? The word. Now, when he went and knocked on the door, she opened and saw him and recognized him. And of course, she knew what he was there to say. So she said that, I don't want to hear anything about Jesus. I don't want to know anything about Jesus. I'm done with this Jesus thing. So just let me live my life, get lost. And then she said something along those lines. And then he said, he immediately saw the black dot which was fall down into the belly as if to the spirit. And then in that same vision, he saw her going to hell. She was still alive. But now her fate was sealed. Then he came back and said, but Lord, couldn't she repent? Then the Lord explained to her, to him rather, that it's not because of anything she did, but it's because she made a conscious decision. She does not want me. You see, eh? You got saved by making a decision. You want what? Eh. Now you can go and do all those things all you want, by the way, and that's not going to take away Jesus from you. The way in is the way out. I know some pastors were angry with me for saying that, but it's the truth. You understand? Those who want to receive Jesus Christ, come forward. You make a decision. You come. You receive Jesus. Now, you can only unreceive him, not by doing wazi. No. You did not receive him by stopping doing wazi. Not that you should do it. You see, eh? But you made it by deciding. The power of a decision. I've decided I want Jesus. Now, that is what changes everything. Now, when you decide I don't want him, it's not that you don't know. No. Then he explained to him that if it's a young believer and they say it under duress and all that, and it has nothing to do with what she did, by the way. Nothing to do with what she did. Please understand that. It had everything to do with her saying, I don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. And now the Lord knows that you've made up your mind. And you know, you've seen him, you've tested him, you've seen. And then Kenneth Hagin was so confused, he said, Lord, first show me where that is in the Bible. I will not believe it until you show it to me where it is, where? In the Bible. Because that is not the unpardonable sin. So how is that anywhere? In the Bible. So he said, show me a scripture before I believe that. And the Lord showed him, you know, there is that scripture in which says, if any one of you pray, there is a sin which leads to death. If you see somebody who is committing a sin that does not lead to death, pray for them. Then he says, but there is a sin that leads to death. It's somewhere in John, the epistles of John. You find it. Then he says that there is a sin which leads to death. And it is there. And he explained that is the scripture under which you decide. Now, of course, that is, okay, all unrighteousness is sin. And there is a sin not leading to death. That is like almost all of them, except the unpardonable sin and what. But I'm just trying to make you know that the decisions we make in this life. Okay, go ahead. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who is born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. There is one where it says, it says there is a sin that leads to death. And I do not say pray for that one. I think it's before. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and he will give him life for those who commit a sin not leading to death. There is sin leading to death. I do not say he should pray about that. So, there is no prayers. Bible. I remember I read that, I was scared. I said, eh? Man, that thing shook me, by the way. You have no idea. I was thoroughly scared. Now, I want you to know that it is not meant to scare you. Eh? The thing is, you are not about to make the decision that you don't want Christ. Are you? You can't make it. It has nothing to do with the sin. Because in any case, you cannot sin. The Bible says that. Eh? Eh? Because you are born of God. It says there, whoever is born of God does not what? Sin. Now that is also is going to confuse you, but let it not confuse you. Eh? That's what the Bible says. Eh? What it means is... some of you, I say, are you sure? You have no... Are you sure I cannot sin? But that's what the Bible says, because sin is a nature. You understand? It is not an action. When you received Jesus Christ, you received the nature of righteousness. When you were born of Adam, you received the nature of sin. Do you understand? It has nothing to do with your sin or not sinning. It is a nature. So your righteousness is, but your nature is what? Righteousness in Christ. Just like sin was your nature before that. So now, before you received Jesus, regardless of what you did, you were a sinner. Even if you did all the things, because you had the sin nature in you. Now, what receiving Jesus does, it takes away that nature and gives you the nature of God, the nature of righteousness. Now, that's why he says you can't sin. That doesn't mean you can't commit acts of sin. Amen? But you see, some of you don't know the difference. Eh? Sin is the manufacturer of sins. Does that make sense? Now you people are looking at me as if... The reason people sin is because they have the what? Sin nature. In other words, the reason fish swim is because they are what? Fish. Nobody teaches fish how to what? But for you, you have to learn how to swim. Because you don't have the nature of a what? A fish. Now, the sin nature was transferred from Adam to you without your consent. Just by being born a man, born of a woman. But Jesus gives you the choice to exchange your sin nature with the righteousness nature. Now, when you have the righteousness nature, you have the nature of God. You have the Spirit of God inside you. And now some people, I remember when would be there thinking that, you know, have you ever believed that you, I know you have. For you, I know you have. Akena, have you ever believed that you can die and go to hell when you're born again? Eh? You never, eh? Which means you got born again recently. Now, for us who got born again that time, you know that unless the Lord gives you time to repent, I'm sorry, then you feel clean. Eh? It's. Sorry? 2016. For no wonder. This one got born again 2016. But now, those days, they would say, man, if you even have one sin like this, you're going to hell. If those were the standards, nobody would be in heaven. Not even David, not even Moses, not even Abraham. You understand? But of course, that was all fake. But did you ever believe that? That you can die and go to hell? As have you ever believed that you can die and go to hell? Now, can you explain to me how you'd have the Holy Spirit and you go to hell? You see, the funny thing is people believe you have the Holy Spirit. And then you go where? And the Holy Spirit go to hell. If you went there, it would become heaven. And the Spirit, now like that woman, the thing landed in her, and now she gave up her what? Now that is darkness, real darkness. That great is the darkness. Now somebody, now for her there was no way back because she had tested this. Now for every other person, the witch, doctor, murderer, what? They only have to believe in Jesus and all is wiped away. because they have been in darkness. So they have the opportunity to receive what? Light. But now somebody who has been enlightened and seen light and has rejected it willfully, made a conscious, this is what the Lord told him. She made a conscious decision. It was not under pressure, under duress. She was not pushed to the wall. He said if she had been pushed to the wall, maybe she's scared of something, it would not count. It has to be when you've decided. If there's any pressure and what, they are threatening to kill you, deny Jesus Christ, that cannot be. If they put a gun to your head and say deny Jesus now, and you deny him, that one will not count. Because you're under pressure, you understand? Eh? God knows that your heart has not denied him. Eh? Sorry? Yeah, even Peter denied him. You see? But he was also under pressure. I want you to know the difference. Eh? Because you have to, under no pressure, make a conscious decision. I do not want to have anything to do with Christ, with Jesus. Then he says, okay, you've decided. And that decision rings through eternity. Can you imagine somebody seeing you going to hell when you're alive? And it's sorted, it's cleared. Anyway, so I was saying, your whole body will be full of darkness. I want to tell you this, that do not harden yourself to things which you hear. The reason people come from darkness to light in a specific place, okay? I'll give you an example. You can be in darkness in regard to, okay, I'll give you the example that many of you are. In regard to God's supply, you don't believe it. You believe in the worldly supply, that's all you know. That doesn't mean darkness of going to hell, don't get me wrong. Eh? But that area in your life is not sorted. You still have, you struggle to believe God. Now, if you determine to grow it and say that I am going to grow this part of me, if God actually can supply somebody as he says he can, I am going to believe him to do it. And you determine, you will see how that darkness will turn into light very fast. But you have to go through, you see, the reason people don't do it is because they want instant solutions. But if you determine, like I determined, you know, it says in John chapter 1 that in him was light, and his life was a light unto men. Hmm? His life was a light unto men. Instead of talking of Jesus, in him was life, and his life was a light unto men. That means that by just looking at him, at his life, men received light. Now that is true for so many of you as well. Eh? Your life can be a light to somebody. Where somebody looks at you and says, that this is him, you're the light somebody. You provide light for somebody by saying, I know this person. I know where they came from. I know they used to be this. But now they are transformed. Therefore, your life becomes a light unto men. Just like Jesus' life was a light unto all of us, men generally. Now, of course, your sphere becomes smaller than his. He's covered the whole of mankind. But you see, when God puts in front of you somebody and you know his life and you look at the story of his life and you're unmoved by it, man, you become those people who are enlightened with darkness. You can't change because you've seen somebody and you've just refused to change. And now every time you turn it down, your heart becomes harder, 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 harder. In the wilderness, in Numbers 13 and 14, God said, you've rejected me these 10 times, talking to the children of Israel. 10 times you've rejected me. Now you're going to die in the wilderness. Now, dying in the wilderness does not mean going to hell in our terms. It only means not seeing the promises of God the way he intended them. You understand? Now, because he has given you an opportunity, every act of God is there to just give you faith. Everything he does is to build your faith. Even miracles is just to build faith. Okay? Now, people are not supposed to be If you see something miraculous today and it does not change your faith, then your help, you cannot be helped. Now, I remember some guy told me his father was at T.L. Osborne Crusade here in Nogogo. And he said that the sky is covered and it was going to rain. And Osborne said, don't worry, it's not going to rain here. And he just continued preaching and praying for the sick. And the guy says, his father said that he saw the rain coming like this and then go like this. As if there was a real umbrella like this. You would see the rain coming to fall here, but it would not fall. And the outside it was raining heavily. But inside Lugogo Indoor Stadium there, not cricket over, dry, completely dry. Then the guy didn't get born again. Now you see, when it gets to Chiboko, that one receives more Chiboko. Because you've seen something. I mean, the guy says, the guy tells me, his father says, nah, you Morocco, the only person I know is T.L. Osborne. That one I saw. But he's not born again. Now you see somebody like that, if that does not soften your heart, then what will? Eh? Then another guy told me still that T.L. Osborne Crusade. How he said that was 1985. He said the guy called, said, now I'm going to pray. You know, he was an interesting guy, that guy. He would preach for like 10 minutes. 10 minutes. And just tell you, Jesus loves you. You know, God loves you so much. He sent his son to die for you. You know, that's how he would preach. And he never made any altar call. What I find interesting is that T.L. Osborne, the great evangelist, said that he read the book of Acts from cover to cover and he did not see any altar call. But people Then after telling you Jesus loves you, what? Sometimes he even called his wife, and she also comes and tells you, man, he loves you, what? Then 10 minutes. Like 10 minutes. Then you say, now let's pray for the sick. Then that's where the drama came. Now, this guy told me, he's here in Kampala. He has even never attended fellowship here. He's a journalist. But for him, he got born again in that year. And he's still born again. He told me the people surrounded a certain totally crippled man to see if it is possible that a cripple can walk. You know, somebody who is completely crippled, thoroughly, not even like lame like this. No, crippled completely. Then T.L. Osborne even called his wife to pray this time. But honey, can you please come and pray for the sick? Then she comes. If you are sick, touch everywhere. Father, in the name of Jesus. Man, the guy started shaking like this. Then this guy said people surrounded him. The guy started shaking. Then he like put his hands down and put him there. Then so stood on his 2 feet. He said, I saw that with my own 2 eyes there. Like that, the man from being thoroughly crippled stood on his 2 feet, among others. So, then also, after praying for the sick, just it was his canvas. If you're born again, find a church. There's nothing like come and receive what? Come and receive. But come here, we pray for you, sinners pray. What? No. Okay, that was his style. If you're an evangelist, you don't have to, whatever. But that was, that was his style. He never did it. Then he just packs his things and goes. And if now one day, he was leaving the stadium like this. He even wrote about it. Here. And he said he was tired. Then some cripple guy came. I think the guy really, really believed that if I go there, I'm going to walk. The guy came, but he came late. And he was coming, then the car was taking the great man out. And this guy begged him, stopped him. He said that he didn't feel like, you know, when you're tired, what? But the doctor told him, just, what, get out. And so he jumped out of the car. He just held the man like this. Bah, the guy stood up and walked. Just instantly, then he got in his car and drove out. I think the guy was charged that if TL Osborne prays for me, I'm going to what? I'm going to get healed. So he just stood up. Now, those things happened here. And then even that guy wrote. You know, we didn't know those things those days. You know what he wrote in his book? He wrote and said he changed the government in Uganda. He said he caused the change of... He changed... He did not say caused. He said he changed a government in Uganda. Now, it turns out that he went to meet Obote. That was in around April. He went to meet Obote. And told Obote that God is telling you that if you do the following things, he will keep you on as president. If you do not, your time is coming to an end. He must have found Obote when he was high on what? On whiskey or something like that. Basically, Obote did the equivalent of giving him the middle finger. And about 2 or 3 months later, he was overthrown by Rutua. So TL Osborne said that he changed the government. He wrote it in his book, he changed the government in Uganda. Now people think, you know, that time people did not know that men of God carry that authority. Now we know, don't we? But that time we didn't know. Who does this man think he is? But he actually did. Then the guy also went and did something which I found interesting. He went and read the gospel according to TL Osborne. He had a tape, you know, a VHS tape. The gospel according to? Yes. And now in that tape, he showed every miracle that Jesus did, he also did. And he shows it there happening. Know these stories. He shows it there happening. Every miracle, including raising the dead. Jesus did it. He shows you it happening. It happening. It happening. That is what he calls the gospel according to? T.L. Osborne. Hey, some of you know the gospel according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and what? And John. But there was also other people. Those people, those are witnesses. Those are people who are telling their story of Jesus. Now, other people have also what? Encountered Jesus. Of course, the scripture is, you know, inspired and there. But so, how did I even get there? Now, I'm telling you this. Imagine, as we come to an end of this, imagine you've been so exposed to miraculous power of God and you're unmoved. Man, your light becomes darkness. Because every time you need something greater than that to move you, every other time you need something greater. Now imagine that lady having seen how God sorted that rent problem, going right back to where she was. Now, who is ever going to tell her anything about God providing? She has become harder. And even if she tried again, she would become harder and harder. And then it becomes very, very difficult for her to come into this thing. So, as the scripture says, as I finish, do not harden your hearts as in the days of what? Of trial in the wilderness. That's what the book of Hebrews says. Because those people actually were so stiff-necked. It's unbelievable. But then we also have people who are like that. Let me tell you, all those men of God whom you find in prayer mountains, praying, and nothing changes. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years. Not just men of God, even people. The one characteristic that they all have is they are not teachable. They know everything. If you dare try to add any information to what they have, they will dismiss it and they will wash it away, as we know that. But he doesn't know it. You see, now from that time, actually, I realized that. Coming from there, and by the grace of God, getting back to my being simple and allowing the word of God to what? To bring light, understanding I know I'm simple, because all the things I know in the head have not helped me. I am struggling. Nothing is working out. I don't seem to even know the direction of my life. I cannot stand and say for sure this is what God called me to do. I'm there, but I know the Bible. And by the way, let me tell you, there is nothing of the Bible that I can quote that I did not know by 2000. By in 1992, when I got born again, I first read the Bible over and over and over and over and over again. And I could quote every scripture. You tell me one, now I can't. Now, actually, in actual sense, now I can't. You see, I will even keep on saying this. I might have a direction of where it is. It's in this book. But that time, there is no scripture I would want to mention. Now, like that one of 1 John, I would tell you exactly where it is. I knew all of them like this. But it was not helping me anything because the word had not entered me to bring light. It was in my head. It was outside of me. Now, it says the entrance of the word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Now, you can think you have understanding of how things work. But then you realize that, at that time, you realize that you are very easy to frustrate, very easy. Every plan you have, somehow a part of you tells you it might not work. Have you ever been there? Eh? Obar, have you ever been there? When you plan things and you're saying, but will this one work? Will this one work? Now I can tell you for sure that when I sit out to plan something, I know it is going to work. Amen? Because I first became simple and I let the word of God enter me. Then I realized that everything can be organized from the higher life where it imposes on this life. So you have control over anything that happens. I remember that time something starts, it's frustrated. You start something, somebody frustrates it. One person like this stands in the way and says, this is not going to happen. And it does not happen. And you look at the guy and you want to beg them, you want to slap them, you want to kick them. But the guy has decided it's not going to what? To happen. And you know when you don't understand those things of, there's somebody whom I knew who was working, who had some job in government, the Minister of Finance. Now he went to give somebody money. And I knew that the person whom he was giving money, you know, wicked people, was going to get the money giving and take it to a witch doctor to make sure this guy loses what he has. You know those people, eh? Whose hearts the devil has darkened. So now, this person, her husband is sick. So this guy goes there to give her money, as in to help her. But I told him, don't give her that money. He said, but you know, they need it. I said, don't give her the money. He said, okay, if you go and give them the money. Because I knew what was going to happen. So she got the money and went and did what? Gave it to the lady. And I knew what she did. Then the boss wrote a letter firing him by mistake. Then he met him one day in the corridor and said, "Where? I don't see you these days. Where are you?" He said, "You're the one who fired me." He said, "Hey, you're the one." "No, I didn't mean to fire you. It's the other person I wanted to fire." They said, "Okay, now restore me." "No, I cannot. It's too late." Up to now, he lost his job. Then, you know, man, the spiritual things. The chick went and now did that, whatever. You understand? Can you imagine the guy? And he even liked him. He says, "Where are you, man? Where are you? I don't see you these days." He signed a letter firing you by mistake. And then he said, "Okay, now that you know it's by mistake." He said, We'll see. But no. Phew. End of story. And you lose a job. Now, you can live your life like that. Now, I hope like none of you is like that, really. Because you should have left that level by now, honestly, where things happen to you by mistake. Okay? But you know the word. The words. Somebody comes in scripture and says, "Yeah, I know where there's the scripture says this." Yes, I know. Yeah, it says this. Yeah, you know, it even says this, and you even finish the scripture. Then you say, and you know what it means? It means this, and even Jesus was talking to so-and-so. Then he said this. "Well, did you know that?" Then the other person said, "I didn't know that." But for him, he's living the life. For you, you're just with words. Because you've not let the entrance of that word enter you and give you life. Until then, you realize, you go and take time off, and then start cultivating that word. Slowly, first taking away all the, you know, knowledge puffs up, the Bible says. It says somewhere, the knowledge does what? Puffs up. When somebody knows a lot of things, he gets puffed up. He says, but the Spirit gives life. Now, you go and put away that puff. You've seen those people who have a lot of knowledge. They can tell you how Steve Jobs got rich and how so-and-so did what shares, over who what. You know, you've seen those people, and they know everybody's life story, all those rich people. But they are broke. But they know the life, and they are always listening to biography. And every time you find them, you find him with a huge biography of some rich person like this, and he's reading the biography. Man, and it gives them a sense of knowledge, which is only going to puff them up and going to add zero value. They will never get any value from that knowledge whatsoever until they accept your simple. Until I remember I told somebody that if I want to know what you know, if I want to know for sure what you know, I don't listen to you. I look at your life. Amen? The only evidence of what you know is your life, not what you can say. I wish you had met me those days. I could speak things. Then at the end of the day, you have to pay for the cappuccino. 10K, it's not there. But I have knowledge. Knowledge. And man, you feel important, but you're useless. Useless. You can't. And it is a very sad place to be in, by the way. It's a very sad place because your light is darkness. You know. Now imagine those people who read those biographies. They have light. But their light is what? Darkness. It's not going to help them. So in their minds, they're intelligent, but they are simple. Actually, they are worse than simple. If they were simple, they would be in position to be helped. You know, there are things which amuse me in the Bible. Now, the other day, I was reading that in Leviticus, that if somebody comes and has a leprosy sore on their skin, then they're unclean. If they have a sore anywhere on their skin, they're unclean. They say, but if the person, the whole body is full of leprosy, then the priest shall declare them clean. Whatever. Are you sure these people did not make a mistake? This must have been an editing error. Let me tell you. The leprosy was, of course, a sign of what? It's a symbol of sin. When you still have some righteousness, you're unclean. When you accept you have no righteousness except the righteousness of Jesus, that's when now you're actually clean. When you say, all of me is leprosy, I'm full of leprosy, then now the scripture says that now you're clean. Can you imagine? The scripture is there, but I don't want to delay you because it's already 9. Otherwise, I would show it to you. Then I say, but the Bible is so funny. There are things which are in the Bible which are so interesting, which if I told you, you'd even be shocked. You think you know the Bible. Now, there's a scripture of if a man suspected this woman of committing adultery, who knows what they would do? Who knows? I challenge anybody here. Try. No. There was a way of verifying. Take them to a certain place. You see, you don't know. Do you know there is a certain water they would get over mixing what leaves and put in what? Make a mixture. It's in numbers. Then they stir, and then the woman drinks. If she has actually committed adultery, the stomach swells. If she's innocent, nothing happens. Some of you think I'm lying. I show it to you before we close. Okay, go to Numbers 5:11. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, go very fast. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, if any man's wife goes astray and behaves unfaithfully towards him, and a man lies with her carnally, and it is hidden from the eyes of her husband, and it is concealed that she was defied herself, and there was no witness against her, nor was she caught. Go ahead. If the spirit of jealousy comes upon him and he becomes jealous of his wife who has defied herself, or if the spirit of jealousy comes upon him and he becomes jealous of his wife, although she has not defied herself, go ahead. Then the man shall bring his wife to the priest. He shall bring the offering required for 1/10 of an offer of barley meal. He shall pour no oil in it and put no frankincense on it, because it is a grain offering of jealousy, an offering for remembering, for bringing iniquity to remembrance. Go ahead. And the priest shall bring her near and set her before the Lord. Go ahead. The priest shall take holy water in an earthen vessel and take some of the dust that is on the floor of the tabernacle and put it in the water. Okay? Then the priest shall stand the woman before the Lord, uncover the woman's head, and put the offering for remembering in her hands, which is the grain offering of jealousy. And the priest shall have in his hand the bitter water that brings a curse. Okay, go ahead. And the priest shall put her under an oath and say to the woman, if no man has laid with you, and if you have not gone astray to uncleanness while under your husband's authority, be free from this bitter water that brings a curse. Go ahead. But if you have gone astray while under your husband's authority, and if you have defied yourself, and some man other than your husband has lain with you, then the priest shall put the woman under oath of the curse, and he shall say to the woman, the Lord make you a curse and the oath among your people. And an oath among the people when the Lord makes your thigh rot or your belly swell. Okay? And may this water that causes the curse go into your stomach and make your belly swell and your thigh rot. Then the woman shall say, amen, so be it. Amen. How many of you would say amen? Okay, go ahead. Then the priest shall write these curses in a book and he shall scrape them off into the bitter water. He writes and even puts the what in the water. To make it more bitter, and he shall make the woman drink the water that brings the curse, and the water that brings the curse shall enter her to become bitter. Go ahead. Then the priest shall take the grain offering of Jerusalem from the woman's hand and shall wave the offering before the Lord and bring it to the altar. Go ahead. And the priest shall take a handful of the offering as its memorial portion, burn it on the altar, and afterward make the woman drink the water. Go ahead. When he has made her drink the water, then it shall be, if she has defied herself and behaved unfaithfully towards her husband, that the water that brings the curse will enter her and become bitter, and her belly will swell and her thigh will rot, and the woman will become a curse among her people. However, if she has not done it, she's okay. She will drink the water and it will be like a cappuccino. Anyway, did you know that was in the Bible? Oh, my God. When I tell you we read the Bible cover to cover, it was here. Do you know that there are things which are in these scriptures which will what? Meanwhile, I finished preaching. I'm just now giving you nyonges. There are things which are in the Bible which are very interesting. But what I'll end by telling you this. I'll end by telling you this. Be sure to have an open heart towards what? Towards the revelation of God. If it has gone past you before, try to receive it. This interest of the word. Make sure the word enters you and changes you. Amen? Amen? Amen. Now I'm looking for somebody whom I don't know again. Whom I totally don't know. Who is willing? Or you don't want? Come. How many times have you come to Watchman?
Like six times. Like six, seven.
Hey, these are enough. Okay. Let's come. Come here. You come on, move in. Do you know somebody called Oscar?
I am Oseku. I am Oseku.
Oseku,
Yes.
So maybe I got confused. Oseku, that's your name,
Yes.
So I was confused. You I was thinking in English, not Iteso. What tribe are you?
I'm an Iteso.
Hey, you see? So I was thinking. Okay. Where do you work?
I'm a KIU student.
KIU student,
Yes.
But I'm seeing a cow. What are you doing? Well, what are you studying?
I'm doing public academy.
But you're shaking. But why are you shaking? Relax. Why are you scared? You volunteered to. What's your other name?
Joseph Silas.
You sure you don't work anywhere, like part-time or something?
I've ever worked in Misha Cosmetics.
As what?
Sales executive, sales personnel.
Sales, selling cosmetics, eh?
Yes.
Public administration, you said, eh? But where am I seeing something to do with accountants?
I did a diploma in the business admin. Yes.
And you didn't work in that area at all?
I think that's where what I did in Asia Cosmetics, I did marketing.
No, I'm saying accounting. Accounting specifically. I'm saying accounting specifically.
I didn't do accounting.
What year are you?
I'm just a fresher, first year, first semester. I'm in the first year, first semester.
But then I'm seeing you working somewhere. Do you day or night or evening?
I do day.
I'm seeing you working somewhere, and when you are still a student, eh?
Yeah, I applied there.
Where?
In KIU as a Shelby librarian.
As a what?
Shelby librarian.
Librarian?
Yeah, Shelby librarian.
What's a Shelby librarian?
Yeah, it's like working in a library, giving students books.
That's not your thing. Anyway, okay, in the name of Jesus. Can you drive?
I don't know how to drive.
Okay. The first wait. You stay there. Huh? Now you relax. Eh? Be happy. Eh? Huh? Okay. What's your name?
Victor Kakuru.
Where do you work?
Mandy?
Where do you work?
KIU.
Where?
KIU.
You study?
I'm studying, but I also work in the United States.
You also write what?
I work in the United States under the Department of Estates.
I don't know, I'm seeing. Do you like dancing?
What?
Like going to.
No. Huh? That is not my thing.
Because I'm seeing. Not much. Eh?
Not my thing.
Not your thing. Eh? Because I see. Okay, now I'm releasing a blessing upon you, in the name of Jesus, that will get you a job, in a place which might not be your thing. You understand?
Yes.
You understand?
Yeah.
Now, do not like turn it down, because it's a job.
All right.
You understand?
Yeah.
And what course are you doing?
Education, biology, chemistry.
Sorry? Speak louder.
Education, biology, chemistry.
Education, biology, chemistry. What year?
First year.
Huh?
First year, first semester.
How come there are so many KIU students here? Who else is from KIU? Also you, eh? Where are you from? Where are you from?
In the school.
No, where do you come from?
Kanu.
Eh?
Kanu. Kanu district.
Sorry?
Kanu district.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I see you're a sharp guy. You let me finish with this one. Okay. Okay, as I tell you now, a wonderful job for you. You understand? Because you need it. You need it for whatever fees and all that. Right?
Yeah.
If it's wrong, tell me. Tell me if it is. Also, you are from. So, also you from Kanungwe. The wisdom of God that elevates you to the top, in the name of Jesus, that elevates you to the top. I mean, on top of your class, like and very sharp. Where is your mom? In the village? I'm praying for her. Like she's sickly. There is what does she suffer from?
I have no idea.
Okay, but as it are why am I seeing as if her legs are swollen? Why am I seeing as if her legs are swollen? They are not. When did you last stop her?
Today.
I can see there are so many question marks on you. Just relax and believe maybe next time you'll be in a better place too. Okay? You understand? Are you born again?
No, I'm a Catholic.
Sorry? You're a Catholic. That's why there are so many question marks. You're trying to see, man, and you've closed yourself completely. You're open, eh?
I'm open.
Are you born again?
Catholic.
You're a Catholic, eh? Do you believe that God speaks?
Yes, I do. I do.
Are you born again? When did you get born again?
2014, I back a slide. But now I'm born again.
What did you backslide? How did you backslide? I want to know how to backslide.
I think I went back to the world, bitter. Okay, I found myself most of the times in bitterness, sometimes back. Then after like 2 years back, I took it off. I came to the Lord completely.
Completely?
Yes. Yeah.
This time. Are you the one who brought these people?
It's Madame who brought us.
Who?
Gloria. Madame Gloria.
Gloria. Praise the Lord. Anyway, let me just pray for you, Kuba. There's a lot of roadblocks here. These guys are looking at me saying, this guy, man. Anyway. Okay, you hold my hand. And in the name of Jesus, say amen. I bless you. Say amen. Amen. Hey, and the blessing of the Lord is upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, Kali, you go and sit down. Huh? Now this, okay. Are you shaking still? Now those who are not born again are doubting. Those who is born again is... Okay, the blessing of the Lord is upon you in Jesus' name. Eh? Amen. Eh? But you, have you ever had somebody prophesy to you?
I can't remember, no.
Okay, you know it's a good thing. Eh?
Yes.
Yeah, so don't fear next time. Eh?
Okay.
It's a wonderful thing. Anyway, let's go home. It's 9:30. Roger, do you have anything for us? You're seeing stars. Huh? Huh? Athanasius, do you have anything for us? Huh?
Thank you, Jesus.
Alfred, do you have anything for us?
Hmm?
Huh?
Don't fear.
Sorry?
Thank you, Jesus. Relax, eh? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Relax, eh? I saw Rose. I think Kamoshima Makarama. No, relax. Kamoshima Makarama, Samakama, Samashima Makarama, Samakaribi, Samakaribi. Are you married?
No, I'm not.
I understand. Mashima Kamakaribi. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're a student, eh?
Yeah, student.
When I saw Rose, I don't know if this was going to be a proposal or something. When the Lord showed me the name Rose, I saw it was, and asked him, I don't think that's her name. Eh? When the Spirit was saying, I don't think that's her name. Now, I'm letting him do the interpretation. Fine, thank you. That's what I'm saying. I'm believing, according to the interpretation, someone, eh? Who is delivering? Are you in a relationship?
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It's well, eh?
Yeah.
There's something. I'm not going to reveal this to the public, but you'll testify when that works out, eh? Because something is removed. That's not of good, because I see something bad, not of the Lord, but then it's going to shape you in that relationship, and you'll move, and you'll move, and you'll move. Quote what I've said. Eh? Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. You will see the fruits afterwards. Eh?
Amen.
But then pursue the academics.
Amen.
I'm seeing you moving.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
The finances.
Amen.
The finances.
Amen.
Are sorted.
Amen.
I'm seeing the Lord taking care of them.
Amen.
I don't know, are you in a bursary kind of something? Glory to God.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Father, that you have done this through me. Give me your hands. I release this grace through your life.
Amen.
Siblings. Do you have someone following you?
Yes, I do. I have five.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
I saw your hand and I was seeing your fingers. I said, okay. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
That you become a solution.
Amen.
Father, thank you. That you do a wonderful work in her. Eh?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
It is going to be a 7-figure. Eh?
Amen.
It's a good figure.
Amen.
I'm talking about salary.
Yeah. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
This is a sign. Do not forget them. Eh? Because it's going to help them. Eh?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
After you receive this, eh?
Yes.
With all your heart,
yes.
Then something new,
yes.
Begins flowing in you. Eh?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Are released. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
When we had just started, when we were concluding worship, I saw an angel deliver to Pastor Lutuama a gift, and he opened it, and inside was a plane. And on the plane, it was written Eurolink. As in Eurolink, Euro, like Europe, like link, then link, Link. Yeah, that was the gift the Lord delivered for you. And the Spirit of the Lord has just told me this. There is somebody who has a bedridden mother who is sick. Is there anybody who has the mother is really sick, has been sick for a while? Bedridden sick. Glory. Actually, the Lord has shown me a man. Eh? Yeah. So I think it's you. It's okay. You can come.
I'm holding Esther.
Okay. Let's. What's she suffering from?
Diabetes.
I was seeing, asking the other man, Kumbe, it was you, eh? You confused. Because I really saw, where is the other colleague of yours, eh? I really saw that his mother is sick. I even saw, like, the legs were swollen. And I was seeing something like diabetes. Kumbe, it was your mother. But anyway, in the name of Jesus, speak healing upon her.
Amen.
She's called Esther.
Yes.
Okay, in the name of Jesus, the healing power of God touches Esther where she is. Just point your hands towards him as a point of contact to his mother. In the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, Esther is healed. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. The healing power of God touches her.
Amen.
And reverses
amen.
The damage in her body. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And you receive good news. Eh?
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay, it is done. It's done. In Jesus' name. Amen.
That was The Watchman. Join us at our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa, Kampala. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman. on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @the_UG Watchman, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email to info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, resources and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King, is coming.